Hi, my name is Kim. You're listening to Historia.
Welcome again to another episode of Historia Podcast, and we have Michael Jensen from Tea with Mike Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
There we go with the special sound effect. So first of all, Mike, just want to know how you're doing. How's the situation in Canada? Is it getting better? I'd like to know more about the situation there.
Sure. Well, first off, thanks for having me to your podcast. Really excited to be here. The current situation in Alberta, Canada is, I guess, it's not as bad as it is in other parts of the world, for example, the US, but at the same time, the cases keep going up and then they drop a little bit and then they go up again. So we're kind of like, we're not making any progress, but we're not getting dramatically worse at the same time, if that makes any sense.
So it's like a seesaw thing.
Yeah, you got it, man. It's like a roller coaster. Like we haven't exploded to hit like the peak, but we're just inching up the track and then we're going down and then we're going up. So we're not really going either terribly one way or like great the other way. So I think it'll be some time before anything changes dramatically.
Right. And with all the vaccines and stuff, right, I'm sure that it's going to get better from here. Maybe 6 months from now, where we will be seeing a lot of improvements. I'm really looking forward for this year. It's going to be a very positive one. A year of recovery, a year of a comeback. Awesome.
That's a good attitude to have, you know?
Yeah, definitely. All right. So I just wanted to thank you for not just being on the show, but also putting yourself out there, Mike, because your content, your writing style, I pretty much adapted some of it. The way you write the content, the way you post them on different social media platforms. I really learned a lot from you. So thank you. Thank you so much, Michael. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. I think that's how the world works best, like when we can all learn from each other's strengths, right? So, and it's all about personalizing the content, as you probably know.
Yes, you're adapting one's content and making it in your own style. So
Exactly.
And what's interesting is that, you know, last night I had the class with a 66-year-old Chinese man, and it was my first meeting with him. It was a class, but it was a free discussion at the same time. And what really got me is that he took the initiative to talk about tea, which is what we're going to talk about today. It's about tea, Tea with Mike. So... yeah, that made me more excited about the show. And of course, unfortunately, I think I forgot most of the parts of his discussion. But one thing I remembered is his belief about tea. And he said that tea is an integration between man and nature. Yeah, ooh. So... I want to ask you this time, what's your biggest belief about tea?
That's a good question. So I guess my biggest belief about tea I'm not even sure if it's a belief, but I seek tea in times of low energy or I guess discomfort moment. So let's say I'm going about my day, I get mad at something or my day's not going as planned. It seems like a good cup of tea, in my opinion, is a good way to, I guess, reset, you know, to like try and get like back on track. Okay, this didn't go very well for whatever reason, and I'm just going to take a pause, and I'm going to have a cup of tea, and then I'm going to kind of realign, reevaluate, and hopefully and move forward. And then obviously it's like tea for me, and then I'm sure you have something that you turn to when you need a mental pause or a break or a reset, right?
Right, definitely a break, de-stress a bit. If you're stressed at work, if you're having problems at work, a cup of tea will make your day better. Then, you're actually drinking tea right now. So that's amazing.
This is a true fact. I can't go more than a certain amount of time without looking for some tea. So I think it's a part of me, you know, like my DNA.
Wow. I'm really amazed with that, Mike. So super awesome. Now, I'd like to know about your origin story. What was the origin story of T-Wigged Mike? I've read about some of your whys about doing the podcast, that you love conversations, you love talking with people, but I want to dive deeper a little bit more into it. What motivated you to launch your own podcast?
Sure. Originally, as people may have detected by now, like, I was originally born in England. And so growing up, like, I lived close to a small town. So, like, everything's very small scale. I used to live in a village with, like, less than 100 people. And I went to school in the local town. So towns and villages are probably like 90% smaller than a city, which is more common over in North America. So lots of greenery, lots of hillsides, lots of British pubs, sheep and cows and historical castles. And I lived in a town near Richmond, North Yorkshire, and it's known for its history. And it's got a Georgian theater with like Shakespearean boxes, and it's in its original format. And so, yeah, surrounded by all this history and that type of thing. And then some of my favorite subjects in school were like theater and anything more on the creative side, specifically to do with drama and wow. Theater. And but so don't ever ask me to play a musical instrument, because you might just get a triangle at the best. But you know, no rhythm, but a deep appreciation for the more creative subjects. So don't ask me to come up with a chemistry formula, because we ain't going far. So
and then
I guess growing up in school and moving forward a little bit, like, I've always loved to talk, and I've always wanted to be everyone's best friend, which obviously has its pros and its cons, which I'm sure you can figure out some of those. But so theater, drama, started acting in shows. I played Franz the Butler in Sound of Music, always took part in my local school productions, and I was in Oliver Twist, I was in the Fagin's Gang, so I could always act. I was better than the average actor. You could always teach me how to dance, but I could never sing. And so that's a part of it which stopped me from, I guess, maybe pursuing it professionally, because at one point I wanted to be a professional actor. So like I said, growing up, I always enjoyed theater, and that was probably like my favorite subject. And then I got involved in the local youth theater. So then I got to perform on the Georgian theater stage that I just kind of described to you. It's one of those moments that'll like never leave me. It's a part of my DNA and who I am, just that feeling of walking up the creaky like wooden stairs, like, and then the curtain opens and there's the audience sitting in like the Shakespearean boxes, and it's super small and intimate. So you hear every gasp and every R and every boo and that sort of stuff. And yeah. I also volunteered there a little bit, so that was good. And always used to go to the local pantomime every Christmas. That was just like so much fun. So then get through school. I never really stood out at anything in school in particular. I tried super hard, but I was never an A pupil. I definitely had some challenges. I learned/discovered that I had dyslexia, so things didn't naturally come to me. So, like, sometimes it was more just in like, it took me a lot longer to process or learn the same piece of information as someone else. So like, I could probably spend 5 times as long to retain a piece of information as somebody else. So that's like quite frustrating, right? And then so also you might be able to tell, I don't know, but I also have ADHD. So like, that brings its own set of challenges. But that, so that was in school. And then I actually did quite well at, like, I guess, English and English literature too, and like in exams, just because I had a tutor, and I loved, I guess, the element of storytelling and poetry and that type of thing. So English should probably be like second behind theater. And then I did my exams, and then I started doing A levels in England with the intention of going to a university in England, because it's a little bit of a different educational system. But that opportunity never happened because me and my family moved to Canada when I was 17. I'm 25 for context. I moved to Canada. I have to finish high school in the North American system, which was really weird because they definitely didn't know how to translate my qualifications and my education in England into the North American education system to determine what I needed to pass grade 12. So those are, because the systems are different, I felt like I'd already passed, but I still had to attend, you know what I mean? Because I've already done all these exams, it's a completely different system. So yeah, they ended up like literally saying, how good were you at this subject? Oh, I was okay. All right, that's just 70 more just for the paper, you know? So I finished this. I was only in high school for like one semester, so it was really weird. Everyone's already got like grad dates. I'm like, what, this is a waste of time because I just had a big like prom celebration like 6 months ago in England. And then, so I finished high school, and then I take theater and entertainment production at Red Deer College. It's a college in my local area. I really enjoyed doing that, like learn about lighting, sound, entertainment, construction, just the whole entertainment industry. And then that was a 2-year program, and then I graduated from it, and I worked professionally for a little while in that industry. And then I got out of it because I wasn't enjoying it as much and the work opportunities dried up, kind of a mixture. And then I did some everyday jobs, like I worked in security for 4 years and worked in a box office and all those types of jobs. Again, always people facing jobs. And then I decided to go back to school, 2021 now. So this was 2018 to 2019. I'm just looking at my diploma on the wall for reference. I took media and communications, working in the meantime. It was just a new program and I needed to decide what I wanted to do next. It wasn't like 8 months of like, I want to do communications. It was just, this is a new program. I have no ideas what I want to do. And then in the second year of that program, I was in this class and there was an opportunity. It was a very boring class, a lot of essays. You have to follow very precise instructions for your research paper. You need like 10 sources and quotes, and a very boring class and one that took up a lot of my time. But there was an opportunity in that class where there was a project with a little bit more flexibility. And that was how I came up with Tea with Mike, and along with there were some other factors of first learning who Gary Vaynerchuk was and my social media class and just the realization that people are so bogged down by like technology that they've forgotten how to have real, I guess, conversation. So all of these kind of factors happening at the same time. And this is what it just kind of molded into was the Tea with Mike show. And so I guess that's how the Tea with Mike show kind of started. Almost, I still think it was kind of an accident, but other people would probably argue that this was always meant to be. And it was all these different paths and doing all these different things and going all the way back to my backstory in the beginning that molded into the accumulation of the Tea with Mike show.
Wow. It's really interesting. We've got theater mentioned, we've got mass communications mentioned, we've got this, all these happenings. They're all amazing, Mike. I want to go back with essays. The essays can really be boring. I felt that way too at times. Those requirements, the work required, I would say, if you're going to make an essay, they would require you to make this 500 words, 1,000 words, which it's really hard task. And sometimes you will really find that difficult to find some words to extend that piece of information just to make it to one particular set of words, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 or whatever.
Oh, yes. I know the struggle.
Yeah. And theater. Wow. It's reminding me of my experience in theater, too, when I was in college. I was doing theater in when I was in third year college, in my university years. And at that time, I didn't know what to do. I was hopeless. I was addicted to computer games. And one day, I decided just to try things out, just to divert my attention a little bit. And I really learned a lot. It's really outside my comfort zone. And as many people will say, that stepping outside your comfort zone is where the learning is. That's where the learning curve is. And I would also recommend people going to theater, try things out for a bit for themselves, because just meaningful, it's just an amazing experience. And I'm so happy that you got into theater as well.
Me too. Now,
maybe let's also go back a little bit with the history of tea. It was first introduced in China. And how did it get to England?
Don't quote me on this, because there's a lot of different stories, but it's my understanding that it was just kind of imported out of the country. I think there were some people that recognized an opportunity to sell tea in other parts of the world, right? I believe it's widely known that tea like first originated, and it still grows a lot in China and places like India, being one of the main tea exporters in the world. Yeah, and it was just a question of whoever, I don't have any specific names, but recognizing that there was an opportunity to make a lot of money out of it. So at least if we're talking from how it got to England, there's these traders that went over to the Chinas and probably places like India, and they just bought the tea and exported it back to England. And because it was such a luxurious good, like centuries and centuries ago, and I know this a little bit more, but tea was like sold on the black market in England, and it was so like luxurious and expensive that the leaves or the grains or however you want to describe it were like actually, I believe, were kept in like tea caddies, you know, so they were actually locked up like opening a treasure chest because it was that precious and that valuable. And I think there's stories out there where like people have literally like been attacked because maybe they were transporting some high valuable goods, including tea, and merchants and whatever attacked them because of the value and significance of these particular products.
Wow. I've read a little bit about the history of tea, and it has this rich history. It's even discovered like earlier than coffee. It is richer than coffee, and it really has a ton of benefits, and there are many kinds of tea out there. And what's your favorite cup of tea, favorite type?
Sure. So my favorite type of tea is Yorkshire tea, and how I describe it, it's a very like strong black tea leaf. And I add a tiny, when I was little, I used to add a ton of milk and I used to suck it out of a bottle. But these days I just add a tiny little bit of milk because I guess I have an appreciation for strong tea. But of course, there's so many different varieties out there. There's all the different fruity flavors and sour teas and the Earl Greys of the world. And it's just like anything, like there's so many that you just have to find like your preference. And I guess I've been stuck on this particular like type of tea for like a very long time. And whilst occasionally I have other teas, sometimes you always just go back to your favorites. You know what I'm saying?
Right, definitely. Now describe your first ever tea experience. What got you hooked up into tea?
Ooga.
You tasted it for the first time.
Well, I was sort of alluding to, my first tea experience was probably when my parents fed me made me tea in a bottle. So I guess it's inherited from my parents, and I used to spend a lot of time at my grandma's. So if you want to trace it back further, that was the tea of choice in their house. And you can probably go back even further than that, you know, so I think it was just fate and destiny. There aren't any like hard reasons, but my earliest memories of drinking tea are out of a bottle as a young child.
Also, because you mentioned your grandparents, and I'm for sure grandparents or parents, they really love drinking tea. And some people, you know, my grandmother, although she drinks coffee, but there are some cases that she loves, you know, she misses drinking tea. And it's a healthier alternative to coffee. I think it's even healthier than coffee itself because there's much more benefit to it. I don't know. I'm not an expert about tea, but...
Well, not that I have put that much time to research, but that is my basic understanding too. Especially green tea has been one of the... That's the one of the most like healthy teas apparently for the oxidants and that type of thing in it. And apparently it's good for digestive systems and that type of thing.
Yeah, indeed. And there's a little bit of caffeine too. So it makes you energized. Yeah, I remembered what that guy said. You know, my student said last night that it was, you know, it has caffeine. It's like coffee as well. And that was amazing. Yeah, taking me back to that memory last night. Still fresh. Now, how do you balance your between doing your podcast and then working on your full-time job? I believe you're doing both at the same time, right? And yeah. For some, it's hard. It's difficult to balance both. Balance having side hustle and having the full-time job. How do you manage those?
So I have a part-time job, and then I also have the show, and now I'm also starting to expand into kind of like helping others in a variety of different ways. So I guess the way I stay organized, because time management is not one of my biggest assets, comes partly from having ADHD, and I've just never been good at managing time. So for me to get the most out of my week, to feel like I've made progress, I have to have processes and structure in place to make everything work. So I'll give you some examples of some tools I use to help me do that. I definitely use calendars. I block out periods of time. You know, for example, Tea with Mike, I always record usually on Wednesdays at 1:30 morning standard time. Like I know I always edit my episode right after I do it. I know I promote on these days and these days. And so I build up a pretty, it's not to the minute, but it's like blocks of time that I allow in my calendar to do certain types of things. So calendar number one, and number two, I have a daily notebook where I write down what I've got to do in a little bit more detail compared to the calendar, which is just blocks of time. So I always writing things down in my notebook and then crossing them off. So when I've achieved that, and that not only gives you a good feeling, it's just help keeping you focused and on track. So I guess calendars and notebooks is how I do it. But of course, there's a lot of different ways for different people, right?
Correct. And what I notice also when I watch your podcast is that you're also taking notes while doing it. That episode with the writer, I forgot the name of the writer, but yeah, you're taking notes. You're making sure that everything is documented. You're taking it in a journalistic way. So
yeah,
it's fantastic. And not a lot of podcasts do that, because when I observed other podcasts, they don't do that. It's your unique style. And yeah, I admire that about you. So that's awesome.
No, I was always fascinated, especially early on in my, like when I was beginning to grow this show, was would people find it annoying that I was taking notes at the same time? But nobody's ever told me that, like, ultimately they find it annoying. So I guess it's just something I've kept on doing, right?
Yeah. I think it's your signature. I think it became your signature now. Your habit for sure. So that's fantastic. I love that. I really love that. So we all had these setbacks we all had these failures, we all had this because of the pandemic, right? We have these, and all these setbacks are just temporary, right? I want to know, what's your biggest failure for the past year during the pandemic, and how did you learn from it?
My biggest failure? I would say that I failed at anything during the pandemic. I was originally, had another job in the events industry that ended because of the pandemic, and then I moved cities, and I found a new job, and I kept my show growing and all of those types of things. So I, like, even though the year started off pretty terribly, like this time last year, like I recovered well, and then I started building on my foundations. But I guess not a failure, but something that I came to appreciate more, I guess, because of the situation, that was people around me, being healthy, and my close friends, and also family. So I guess last year gave me a new appreciation for what I have. And then also, even throughout the Tea with Mike show, as I've heard other people's struggles and stories, all those moments when I hear about how they nearly killed themselves, or they were bankrupt, or they came back from absolute zero, also gives me an appreciation for what I have. So not necessarily failure, but I guess new sense of appreciation.
Oh, yes. That's a better way to put it. Instead of failure, that's this sense of appreciation, which you turned into an opportunity, and you had a lot of opportunities. It kept growing. Your Tea with Mike show kept growing. You even got this special segment with Gary Vee. Wow. And I was like, wow. Oh, my God. It's Gary Vee. And I became a fan of him during the pandemic. So,
okay.
What have you learned from Gary Vee that you're currently applying today?
So the thing that I learned from Gary Vee is the importance of collaboration in order to scale my talk show / my podcast, whatever you want to call it. It's in video, it's in audio. You can find it in multiple different places. So that collaboration aspect. And since he gave me that piece of advice, I've doubled the episodes of my show. I've started doing more social media lives. One of my goals this year is to appear on more people's podcasts and that type of thing. So the importance of collaboration, and collaboration with absolutely anybody who has an interest in collaborating, for the most part, you know, like, you can overthink collaboration, but there's lots of different ways you can do it right. So collaboration.
Indeed, collaboration. When I listened to your segment with Gary Vee, that's what he said as well. And I think you pretty nailed it. You nailed it during the course. I was just observing it from the way you put your content. There's a lot more collaborations for the past few months. I've seen you appear on more podcasts, and you even took the initiative to say, hey, Kim, how can I get on your podcast? And I was like, oh my God, wow. I was blown away. And great timing at that time. I was a little short with my guest, so it brought a ton of value with collaboration. And we wouldn't have been able to meet each other. We wouldn't be able to talk like this if you didn't take the initiative. So really huge thanks for that. I really give you kudos. Big kudos for that.
And thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah. As a mass media practitioner, what is something that you haven't learned in your degree that you just discovered while doing your podcast?
Great question, man. That's all these questions have been really good. While my show is all about, like, you don't need to write an essay, like a textbook doesn't, at least in my professional opinion, doesn't get the majority of people very far. I think it's just the importance of storytelling. And I think you can learn the importance of storytelling from the creative art industry and the theater world, and in the music world, and the dance and performance world, because every piece of entertainment you ever see is ultimately telling a story, whether it's a singer singing a song expressing their feelings, whether it's a piece of music, whether it's a theater performance, and whether it's a dance piece. So I think storytelling is one thing that they don't teach you. And it's also one thing I don't think you can really teach, because it's each person has to find their own path, if that makes sense. It's like something you have to self-discover as you gain more experiences in life.
Yes. And of course, the mass media, you know, I'm sure mass media really teaches storytelling, but I don't think it's, in my case, maybe I was just not listening that time. I've had my failures during my university years. So I don't think they're that deep when it comes to storytelling. They teach you how to present, for sure. Like how to present the news. It's kind of, you know, how do you appear on TV? How do you appear on the radio? Or no, not how to appear. How do you hear yourself on the radio? So some things like that. And of course, some news writing, how to make news articles. But I think, yeah, it's storytelling. It's really important. It has deeper meaning when you do the podcast, right? So that's awesome. Really awesome. Great. Love it. So what's your opinion of the podcast industry for the next 5 years? And how will you see yourself by that time?
I think the podcasting industry, again, without referring to anything specific that I've really read, I just think it's going to keep growing. And because the advantage of audio and even voice in general is you can be multitasking and doing other things at the same time versus like watching a video. You can be eating dinner if you're by yourself, or you're cooking and you can hear the audio, and the audio is not going to stop if you log out of your app or your screen or that type of things, which prevents you from watching videos for the most part in the same way. So I just think it's going to become more and more popular. And also I think that acceleration is being increased by the global pandemic that we currently find ourselves in, because a lot of people unfortunately stuck at home, and some people are looking to develop new hobbies. And there's a lot of people out there that have years and years of experience and are trying to translate that into a podcast to share in the world. So that's my, I guess, opinion on that one. And then for, I guess, the Tea with Mike show in 5 years, I haven't really thought about it. I'm just going to keep growing it and growing it, and it'll take its like own, natural path. I just got to keep doing what I've been doing in year one and year two of the podcast, and the rest will take care of itself. I'm a firm believer, but I would love to be of being heard in, I guess, every single country around the world. That'd be pretty cool. I think I've been seen or heard so far. Last time I looked at my analytics, I think it was like 45 countries, so that was cool.
Wow.
So just keep having fun with it. Keep hearing people's stories. Opportunities I'll self-generate from the show, I guess, is the platform and the catalyst. So yeah, just keep having fun. Just keep hearing stories. Keep feeling goosebumps. Keep crying. Keep laughing. All the stuff that is what we should be doing on the daily.
All these emotions, just doing the process, staying on the course, that's definitely where you'll see yourself by that time. That's awesome. And now that reminds me, when I hear about podcasts, actually I don't know about podcasts before I started it. So podcast industry in the Philippines, it's also growing. It's not yet mainstream. Even in my community, in my area here, they don't know anything about podcasts at all. Right? my family, no, they don't know. My friends here, my colleagues from another province, they don't know anything about podcasts.
You could be the biggest podcaster in the Philippines.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hoping for that. Yeah.
If there's no market, make a market. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's really growing now for the past few years, especially the Spotify. I think Spotify made the right move for that when they started investing in podcasts. Because before, podcasts are pretty non-existent here in the Philippines, not until Spotify came into play. So that's really amazing. So podcast industry will surely be growing for sure. So I would definitely say that 100%. And here's an interesting part. I always ask this to my guests. Rate your happiness level from 1 to 10.
With 1 being the worst?
Huh? Yes. 1 being the worst and 10 for the best. Yeah.
Probably like a solid 9.
All right. Why 9?
Why 9? Because you're always there's always room for improvement and not everything is always like green grass and happy. Of course, there's going to be low energy days or things that didn't go as well as you hoped and that type of thing. But generally speaking, like things are going pretty solidly given the circumstances that we find ourselves in. So I'm putting myself, if you keep putting your guess on a score chart, I'm going to place myself at number 9.
Oh, there we go. It's number 9. So number 9 being very happy, super happy. And that little 1 there is a room for improvement. So that's great. Wow. By far, it's been an amazing journey. It's been an amazing episode. So what's your recommendation for people who might want to try tea?
Just try it. Like, that was the attitude to how I got started in podcasting. Just do it. Keep it simple. Pick up a teacup, grab some tea from your local store and give it a whirl. It's like anything, right? Yeah. This is what they say. You have to try something 3 times to see if you ultimately like it or don't like it. So apply the same principles that you would apply to anything else, like trying a new food, to the principle of drinking tea.
Right. So it doesn't need to be fancy at all, right? It doesn't need to be fancy.
No.
Like, try this kind of tea. You need to try this oolong tea. You need to try, you need to, you know, pick a specific cup of tea. Just try anything, any cup of tea.
Yeah. For sure. Go for the middle of the range. You know what I mean? You're not going to get the true experience if you go usually at the bottom end. Like, so go like middle of the road to give you a kind of a indication. I think I don't think there's really a written method per se, but yeah, just don't shoot for the 99 pence tea bag leaf, you know, because you're gonna get the 99 pence tea experience. So those types of things, that's what I would say.
There we go. So lastly, one more thing. Where should we follow you on social media, Michael?
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, everyone can follow me at Tea with Mike on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and also my show's website is teawithmike.com.
All right, there we go. Teawithmike.com. You can also find him on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tea with Mike. T_with Mike?
Yeah. If people just Google Tea with Mike in any variation, they'll find me.
Yeah, there we go. So Tea with Mike, please follow. Please listen to his podcast. There's a ton of meaningful stories, ton of amazing guests, including Gary Vee, the great one, the GOAT. So there we go. So yeah, please listen to his podcast as well. So thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate you being on once
Thanks
again.
For having me, man.
Yes, you have a great day. You have a great evening. Thank you.
Yeah, you too. I'll go make some more tea now.
All right. Fantastic. All right.